just start us off by saying that when I hear the or read the description of hope in that hymn, it's a star, it does two things. It gives me light in a dark time, although stars aren't really that bright, right? I guess the sun is a star, that counts. But they also give me a sense of direction when I might have felt like I didn't have any sense of direction before then. Oh, and our Bethlehem movers, you can come and sit down if you like for the family's done. Do any of you have tales of where you've seen hope over the past year? There have been a lot of things happened since last January the 1st. Yeah, feel free to stand up and say your, yeah.
I'd like to speak to hope. A year ago now, as a congregation, we were at our old building, not knowing where we were going, nothing in place, and we did a lot of praying, and we came here. And I have been very comfortable, and I trust in God, and I know that we will be fine. I have hope.
On the environmental front, I have hope when I see people like Greta Thunberg speak out on behalf of the next generation. And I have great hope that strides will be made in making sure that we are able to adapt to the changes in our climate. That gives me hope.
When I leave my country, Syria, I went to Lebanon with my mother. I wasn't know what is waiting for us. We don't have anything in Lebanon. We have some relatives. And we start from zero. And I put my hope in the word of God. And as I know that I am the son of God by the grace of Jesus Christ. And God was care about us, and he surprised us. And the same happened again when we came to Canada. We don't know any people here. And I know God is blessing us so much.
We're going to sing the second verse of the hymn now. Now I'll put in a little word. Sometimes you're not going to think of the hope thing that applies to you until we get to the joy verse. So feel free that as we go through the hymn, we can accumulate all of our gifts. Being a ribbon that circles the earth. I think of a ribbon as something that holds things together rather than tearing them apart. And I think of a ribbon as something that is a decoration on a gift that even has more value than the piece does. Are there times in this past year where you felt perhaps not at peace and then the peace has been discovered? I know that my mother has found a kind of peace because Dad died 3 years ago and my sister died this summer. And it's hard for her because she's not an overly communicative, get out and talk to people kind of person. So she feels quite isolated and alone having lost those two people. And I think there's the thing too of parents are never supposed to outlive their children, and that bothers her. But she's gradually finding peace, and a lot of it comes from her faith. follow up on Janet's comments too. I think that this congregation found a kind of peace when a number of decisions were made and we realized that we did have a direction and we had good options and opportunities. And although I feel a part of St. Paul's as a staffer, I'm still sort of on the edge. I have two roles that I play. And so when I play the role of being on the outside, looking in, I could see a feeling of peace and contentment in spite of all the changes once the move happened.
Dennis?
Yeah.
I would add as well, the peace that I have felt after we've held our prayer vigils, and knowing that we've come together, that we've thought together, prayed together in the presence of the Spirit, and that things would be looked after. It's not up to us as humans to make all the decisions. Sometimes those decisions are given to us, and I've always felt peace after participating in one of our prayer circles.
Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to the third verse, and again, oh, another one, yep.
I don't like to pop up and speak to every one of these, but I wanted to say as well that each and every one of us owes a huge gift of gratitude to each other, because many of the people in this congregation have stepped up and stepped out of their comfort roles and taken on new roles and new challenges, and Douglas, you're one of them, and thank you for.
It felt like a good way to end the year by just looking back. And I have a feeling that next Sunday we'll be doing some looking forward, so they'll pair together. We'll do the third verse. Song, the thought that goes through my mind is you can't keep your mouth shut when you're joyful. You've got to tell somebody, and that's one of the outward signs. I'm just going to do a little. We can. There. Now I can see more faces over there. One example that I know of joy in the past year is recently at the Christmas tea and bazaar. I could see the joy on the faces of the St. Paul's people behind the tables who were selling things. They were just so happy to be back doing that kind of thing. And so, at least that's how I read it, was joy. There was we're doing what we enjoy doing, we're reaching out to the community, we're offering something, we're helping St. Paul's. And it was just pure joy on their faces. Very strong image for me. Any other joyful moments from this past year?
I know.
Sure.
It's kind of going off of Janet's thing, but I felt like when we knew that we were going to move this congregation to where we are now, we all felt joy in our hearts, like the song kind of says, when we knew we were going to resume kind of where we are. Mm-hmm. And recently, well, kind of a couple weeks ago, my mom drove past our old building, and I decided to take some pictures as it was kind of being taken down, and I started to feel joy as I remembered the memories I made.
Mm-hmm. Yes, memories can be good for bringing back moments of joy, even when we see a building coming down. Mm-hmm. I think there's also the element, joy might not be the right word, but maybe this fits into the peace thing, that we know that a lot of that building is being salvaged. It's not just going to the dump. It's going to be reused in some way to help other people who are building things. I know that the organ is that way. The organ has gone to at least four different places. So it will continue to sing in different ways. Any other moments of joy in the past year? Yes. Take, yeah.
Christmas Eve, the music and the singing, it filled this place.
I was just going to add to that about Christmas Eve. Our last hymn was George the Brook, and you could feel the most phenomenal warmth, the most spiritual blessedness, and I couldn't help but not sing, not that I normally get. But it became this whole outpouring of emotion and joy. And it wasn't just because we were singing Joy to the World, but it was that totally heartfelt. And I know Rod and I were beside each other, and the bass section was roaring. You know, we were bringing in Covenant, because we couldn't stop ourselves from doing it. And Dave Graham came up to me after the service and said, I don't know what was going on with you and Rod, but my goodness, you could just feel the energy building and building. So it was that joyfulness, but also that energy and that faith and spirituality coming through as well. Because that's how strong that I felt. It was phenomenal. It was truly sort of a yes. It was that you know. It was that hope, the joy, the faith, all of it coming together as one. Mm-hmm. We're here.
And I'm one of those. Let's go find a teeny tangent, but not too far off. If I go into a store and you're a salesperson, if you find out my name and you use it too often, and you have to convince me that I should buy your product, I'm likely to walk out. The best salesmanship I find is I look at somebody who's using a product and I go, they are just way too happy. I've got to have what they have. And it's part of it is the joy. In other respects, it will be the peace depending on the situation. That's where the four, those are things, they're attributes that we can demonstrate to others in our own lives. And if they say, well, that person has, and pick your gift, and I go, they have it in a way that I wish I could have it. I think that's one of the best salesmanship tactics that you could ever have. And joy is probably the most extroverted of the four, but the other three are also pretty good. Sing the last hymn, or the last verse. Think of when you're feeling cold and left out, that's the flame is what you want to go to, warm your hands, warm your body. Are there moments that you've seen love accomplish things in the past year?
Experiencing a heartfelt felt experience. And we give that back out again in peace, joy, and hope. Overall, it sort of wraps it all up. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a heartfelt response from all of you, and I give that back out again, or at least I hope I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Love is expensive. Give it away. It'll come back.
Yep. Very true. And if you look at the front of our bulletins, starts with the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God, loving your neighbor, loving yourself. It's the starting point of so many things. And I know I'm, again, as a kind of a semi-outsider, one who looks from inside and outside this congregation, you couldn't have done what you did last year if you didn't love each other. If you didn't love what St. Paul stands for, if you didn't love God, it would not have happened. Certainly not in the way that it did.
I see love every time we come in here. But I think furthermore, we should extend a thank you to everyone in our congregation, because each person has a forte or a talent, and they are willing to give it. But the way they give it is they have a love for what they have an expertise in, such as Douglas on the piano, bringing feeling. And I think we need to thank everyone for giving of ourselves and being a part of this congregation in our own small way. So thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work together. Let's finish this. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what a family is? A family is love. A family is encompassing everyone in this big warm hug, and it doesn't have to be the physical name on a hand or hugging each other, but rather that each person is important, and we as a family of St. Paul's, we are St. Paul's family, continue to do this as we've been through all of the strides and trials, and all of the changes, and all the transformations, and all of the decisions that have had to be made. And the other thing that kept coming back to me as we were talking about all of this, remember all the conversations about the doors? The door would open and then one would slam shut. And then a door would open and it would slam shut. And I'm thinking, okay, there's your hope, there's your joy, there's your faith, and then finally love encompassed all. The doors were knocked down, and we have now opened doors and continued with our faith and our beliefs and our spirituality, and we're going to continue that. With the love that we have and the strength of the love that we have, we are not going to be extending beyond these four walls and going up our bridge.
What are the candles for? I guess it's time we better end up. Right? Round to your quarters. Yes.
I'd just like to say that as far as love, I think I've seen love from the Mount. They have welcomed us. They have gone out of their way to help us. And it's love can, in this case, love has come to us. We have spread it here, I hope. But yeah, I've seen it coming to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. Some of the hard things about gifts are, even these four gifts, or there are other gifts too that we can talk about. It's how do we give them to other people? So that might be something to consider for future discussion. Are there places? I know we have shut-ins from this congregation. Are there ways that we can bring these gifts to them? I know Isabel Bath, the great ambassador for St. Paul's, I'm not sure how many people she would visit in a week, but it's just taking the time to say hello, to drop in, to take a bulletin or a newsletter, those little things, looking after our own, but also looking after those who come and visit with us. We're going to move into the prayers of the people. This part of the service can have two names. When a pastor does it by themselves, we call it the pastoral prayer. And when we, the people, do it, then we call it prayers of the people. So, but it's basically the same thing. I'm going to... Since we've been doing four gifts, we're going to do something a little... different, but easy, not to be afraid. No worries. Let's see if I can read my writing again. So, four, I'm going to suggest using the compass as a guide to our prayers this morning. So we'll have north, south, east, and west. On your behalf, I'm going to stand and face the direction that we're going to talk about, and I'll start us off. Then I encourage you to follow. You can either use the simple format of a prayer listed in your bulletin, which is I see, and I'll explain how that goes, and then I either pray for something or I give thanks for something. You can make up your own version of that too. Oh, and with the four directions, if you're not sure which direction something really is, you can pick the closest direction. Like if you want to pray for Toronto or Ottawa, they're not necessarily straight west or east or south or north. So we can do, and we'll do a little time at the end again. If you remember or think of something that doesn't match the direction we happen to be facing, you can add it. For some people, praying in public is intimidating. You do not need to pray aloud to participate. You can pray silently. Prayers can be short. They don't need to be long. That's not the plan. You are allowed, if you wish, to pray with your eyes open. I assume that if you pray while driving, you don't close your eyes. So there's a precedent for praying with eyes open. What's the last one? Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll pray for better eyesight. And once we get, again, as we move through, if we've covered a direction, but you think of something that sort of, oh, we just did north, and now we're on to south, and I thought of something else for north, you can stand, you can add that prayer. You can remain seated. I'm going to start us off. Dear God, when I look north, I see the new mount, and I give thanks for the sisters who built and maintained this building that we now call home. I see the symbolic north with its cold in winter, and I think of how nature rests in anticipation of the growth and the renewal in spring, and I pray that we have our own resting and our own growing. I see high rises, and I pray for opportunity. I see people living in the north who have rough living conditions, and I pray for their well-being. Next. Sorry, this is new, so don't worry. It takes a while for the ball to get rolling. When I look east, dear God, I see 120 Murray Street. And I give thanks for the generations of people who call it her home. I give thanks for the many ministry opportunities that that location provided. When I look east, I see the police station. And it brings to mind all of our service people, ambulances, fire trucks, police, and I think of all the ways they save lives on a day-to-day basis, and I pray for their safety. When I look east, dear God, I see downtown. And I'm made to think of people who have substance abuse issues and mental health issues and how they really need help. Symbolically, God, looking east, I see the rising sun and I know that there is a hope for a new day.
Dear God, when I look east, I look further east and I see the many, many people who have come from Syria, Iran, Iraq, and other countries in the east to the safety that we offer in Canada and in Peterborough. And I give thanks for the ministry and the fellowship that Ronnie's mission to the newcomers has established over the last 3 years. And I give thanks for Ronnie's work among the people. And I give thanks that St. Paul supports him in many ways. And I hope and pray that our ministry to newcomers will continue to be blessed.
Dear God, when I look east, I see downtown. And we know that Jonathan is starting a new ministry there. We pray for his success.
Dear God, when I look east and see the rising sun, there are new beginnings, fresh starts, and each of us has the opportunity every day to have a new beginning, a fresh start, and to make things right. And I thank you, dear God, for that opportunity.
When I look east, I see City Hall, and I'm made to think of those in positions of governance, and we pray for their wisdom as they look after our city and our province and our country. I'm going to move and I'm going to look south now. Dear God, when I look south, I see the rest of the Mount Community Center and I give thanks for their administration. When I look south, I see Jack Malhady. And I pray for the health and well-being of the children and the staff there. Symbolically, when I look south, I see warmth and sunshine. And I pray that we can be warmth and sunshine in the lives of people around us. When I think of the South, dear God, I think of Australia. And we pray for the people suffering because of the wildfires there. Dear God, when I look west, I see the symbolism of the end of the day. I pray that we learn to let go when we realize that something has come to its end. And we give thanks for the rest that comes at the end of a day. When I look west, I see my own university, and I pray for all students, and especially those who are far from family and home at this time of year. When I look west, on the other side of that little wall, there's the kitchen, God, and I thank you that fellowship is a part of our life here at St. Paul's.
Seeing the sunrise and saying, ah, what a beautiful day is about to dawn. And it reminds me of the cycle of life. How nothing truly ends, but in the ending there is always a beginning.
God, you have heard our prayers, both the spoken prayers and the silent prayers. We know that in your own time and in your own way, you will answer each of them. Give us the patience and understanding to do our part, to do our own work with eagerness and enthusiasm, and with love in our hearts, peace, joy, and hope. May we be a beacon of light to those around us. We ask in your name. Amen. Closing hymn is 811.